Hey, Brother Gary, this is Michael Criswell. Thank you for the email, my friend. I've just finished up a long day of writing here, and I thought I would try to send you a reply back. I found your email very interesting. I read every word of it. And man, I think you've done some really neat, diligent study for sure. There's no doubt about it. And so, you know, I'll share with you what my thoughts are on this. I don't know how much you know about, you know, my ministry, but I have always avoided the end time subject for the most part. And I've had a really good reason for doing it, I believe, led of the Lord. But so, yeah, let me just share a couple thoughts. I'll drive down the road here and share a couple thoughts with you, brother. And God bless you, man. I'm so glad you love the Lord and you're studying the Bible and you're looking into these things. I know they're very interesting to look into. Men have always been fascinated by the subject of end times. And, you know, the truth is that up until this day, men have always been wrong about it. I mean, I think that's probably one of the most sobering realities of end times, is if you study end times and you look at what men have concluded, how many times they absolutely were sure that the Lord was coming and that he did not. And men have always been wrong. It's just really, it's true. Okay, so let me just tell you this. First thing that I believe about the end times, you know, the Lord has been so gracious to me to give me insight about how to live as a Christ follower. I really believe that the Spirit of Christ has made an opening to me to understand how the Father thinks in practical ways and what it looks like to truly walk and live a life of faith. But one thing that I've always been interested in, the fact is that the Lord has never opened up to me about end times stuff. And every time I would ever go there, I would know in my spirit that I was not supposed to be doing this. I found it deeply fascinating, very intriguing. I find it powerful. I find it invigorating. I find the thoughts of it astonishing. I find myself having such a prideful joy in my hero, my God, who comes back to right the wrongs, to slay the wicked, to redeem the righteous. I mean, this is just an unbelievable epic story that one day is going to play out, you know, here on earth. And I who wouldn't be fascinated by that if you love your Father? So, but my brother, every time I've ever gone to that way, it's like the Holy Spirit stops me from doing it. And I noticed this over years. I mean, brother, I have flat out studied that Bible. Now, I'm not the smartest guy on the block, not even close to it. But I've spent thousands of hours studying that word and equally a number of hours in prayer, seeking God, asking him, you know, making myself available to him always over the years. Lord, if you ever want to tell me something, if you ever want to use me to warn, if you ever want to give me insight, you know, I always just put it on the Lord. And here's the reason why. Here's what I concluded is that, you know, in Daniel, when he's having this interaction and the angel's giving him insight, and, you know, Daniel hasn't gotten quite enough information. And he's like, wait, you know, tell me some more. What's going on here? And I don't understand all of this. And what I find to be so important is the point that the angel makes to Daniel is, he says, now go on your way, Daniel. He goes, for the rest of this is sealed up until the time of the end. And I took note of the fact that he didn't say until the end times, but until the time of the end. And I feel that the Holy Spirit gave me light on this, that this is why men have been wrong. This is why so many different men come to different conclusions about all the different aspects and facets of eschatology, whether it's the, you know, return of Christ or the Antichrist, and all the things in between that men find fascinating, divide over, so forth and so on. So Gary, I really feel like the Lord actually had been already telling me the same thing in my spirit, and I just wasn't hearing it from the same words that the angel spoke to Daniel. I was already kind of sensing every time I would go to study end times that the Spirit was kind of telling me, now move on, because this is sealed up until the time of the end. And, you know, what's so interesting is, Gary, and I could be wrong, brother. I want you to know, by no means is God running the universe or end times based on Michael Criswell. So I could absolutely be wrong. And I think that every single man of God is wrong about something. I think when you look throughout history, I honestly believe God has allowed it to be this way. I cannot find one person that I've ever agreed with entirely everything. It seems like everybody is off, in my opinion, on something. And so I could absolutely be wrong about this. I'm just trying to share with you my personal experience. And I want to tell you this, brother, that one thing that I know is true, that I know better than I know most anything, that I would be willing to bank everything I have on it, is that I know when nobody's looking, God knows that I have humility before the Lord. God knows. It's not something I can tell other people. People can't see the most important part of my life, but I know that God has acknowledged that I have humbled myself as a little pitiful child before Him, and I have sought Him earnestly for all kinds of truth in my life. And what I have found is, in most instances, God gives me light on it. There's certain things He doesn't, but one thing that God has not been pleased to give me any more revelation on, I mean, I can read the Bible for myself, aided by the Spirit, and get some insights and some light on it, but I've never been able to land the doctrine on, you know, eschatology type view. I've never been able to land and say, this is what this means on all these things. I just can't, okay? About the Lord's return. I mean, think about how many people believe, you know, the preterist viewpoint, that Christ already came back in AD 70. I mean, man, there's so many people that have convincing arguments on so many different things. And bottom line is, I believe they're all wrong. And so I started taking the stance that if a man takes a stand, on the end times, that a certain thing will happen, that he's wrong. Because I believe God has hidden it. I believe no man on the earth understands the end times the way God intends them to be. I believe there's a lot of theories that make an awful lot of sense in the natural. You know, the idea that there's 7 days of creation and 7,000 years of, you know, existence to be lived out, and that we're in the, you know, the sixth year towards the end of it, 6,000 years, we're getting ready to, man, that makes perfect sense to me as a human. I say, man, God, that would be smart for you to do. Your idea, you know, I'm aware that Christ was not born on, you know, zero. I'm aware of that, and totally agree with your math on, you know, Herod's death and Christ's birth and the timing of all that, and you know, BC 6. I get all that. I'm in agreement with those things, and you know, the idea that it would have been around 27 AD when Christ died. I believe it, my friend. I believe it. I have no, you know, qualms about it. But I think that God is not pleased to give us light on the other things regarding the end times. I mean, man, it can get so confusing if you really, some of the great minds, theological minds, have been so far apart on these various subjects. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, even the 1,000-year reign of Christ, there are such compelling arguments for, you know, premillennialism, midmillennialism, postmillennialism. I can't even say these words. And so let me tell you where I am at, okay? I know that, like I say, Father has given me insight into how He thinks about the practical things of the faith, walking with God, obedience, faith, trusting Him, persevering, fighting the good fight of faith. You know, obedience to the words of Jesus Christ, falling away from the faith. All of these things I believe God has given me good understanding on, okay? And I've seen God give me power and insight into people's lives before, to be able to tell them of things that were going to happen before they happened, or to tell them that something has happened that nobody else in the world knows has happened except for them and God. So I've seen this invisible power of God at work in me. And I know that God is with me. And so I've also seen God tell me throughout my life, in the last, you know, 8 or 9 years, God has oftentimes told me of things via promises that will happen in the future before they happen. And they have all come to pass, Gary, all of them.
Michael commentary. Brothers and sisters, that statement I just made is no longer true as it was true when I made that statement in this 2019 recording. Up to that point, as best as I can recall, outside of maybe just a few personal conjectures, anything that God had led me to believe prophetically that I made a risky action or walk in faith towards actually came to pass, whether it was firing my attorney or starting to build a tiny house that I didn't have the money for. All of that came to pass. And then some. The whole journey into India, all that prophetic, all those promises, they all came to pass. But that statement fails to be true after 2021, when I believed that God had told me Persis would come back from her apostasy, both to me and to Christ, and it never happened. So that track record of me hearing from God broke. But again, I want to remind you that although that was a terrible blunder, please remember there's a big difference between the things I've stated publicly in my recordings, prophetically affecting your life or things in the world, versus a personal conjecture about my marriage and my personal life. This is something very different in the eyes of God. This was still me just sharing my raw walk of faith through my journal entries as I was walking through the mystery of God in my life. It had nothing to do with anyone else. It wasn't me speaking about Trump or the end of the world or terrible disasters that were coming and all of those other things that have been said that clearly have prophetic events and truths tied to them. This was that personal conjecturing in my life about what I believed God was telling me about my wife. But again, for those who haven't heard that story, it becomes very clear that I misinterpreted what God was speaking to me at that time about Persis, speaking to me that I would see resurrection, that I would not be put to shame, and that it would be to me according to my faith. I misinterpreted what the implications of those promises were. How could I have believed anything else? Clearly, God hid the meaning from me for a reason, just like he hid the meaning of the Son of Man must be betrayed by this generation and then killed and then 3 days later raised again. And the Bible says, but the meaning of this was hidden from them. Clearly, God hid the meaning of the words that he spoke to me about resurrection, not being put to shame and it being according to my faith. Because when you see what happened in my marriage with Lisa, clearly, I've seen resurrection. I've not been put to shame, and it's been to me according to my faith, but it didn't happen according to what I originally believed. But then notice again, after that, the pattern of God speaking to me in advance begins to happen again. Aside of me not getting to New Zealand when I thought, but again, that 9/11 date comes to pass, just like God said, when the tiny house gets there. But then all these things, tell Lisa she's to be your wife, file the paperwork for court. Don't respond to that motion for contempt. Don't go to that hearing in Alabama where they're going to try you for contempt. And then you see the results that happen where God speaks to me and tells me in advance, and then there's an outcome. So that pattern has continued on. I wanted to be clear that that statement I just made is no longer true. I was wrong about what I publicly declared about my personal story and my personal marriage when my spouse did not come back from her apostasy. End of commentary.
So I'm having this experience with God where I'm actually trusting his word and then my personal experience with him more than I am anything else outside of it, regardless of how theologically sound it is. And now let me connect that to my point about end times. Brother, I believe that Jesus Christ is not going to come back in 2027. I do not believe that Jesus Christ is even going to come back in my lifetime. I know that might just absolutely boggle your mind. I know it would many when, you know, I'm out there pleading with people to obey him. But here's a few of the insights that I have. When I was in India, living in India with my wife in 2016, one day I was standing looking out our gate on our front porch, our back porch that, you know, keeps monkeys out. And I was just standing there looking through the gate like a caged animal, making this message that God wrought in my heart called, "Will Your Faith Stand When the World Falls Apart?" And in that message, unknown to me, I began to speak of, if you think it's bad now, you haven't seen anything yet. And I specifically named things like, you know, movie theater shootings, mass shootings, school shootings, hurricanes, earthquakes. And I basically prophesied. I know that God was speaking through me to warn people and let them know, listen, if you think what you're seeing now is bad, my friend, it's going to get so much worse. Well, I came back to America the very next year after I spoke that message. Was the worst year in the history of the United States of America for everything I mentioned in that recording. We had the worst wildfires. We had the worst hurricanes. We had the worst mass shootings in the history of the United States. So all of these things followed this utterance, I believe, the Spirit gave me to warn people and let them know. But my friend, the main point I was making in that message, Gary, is that it's going to have to get much, much darker. And I tell you, my friend, with everything I believe it is going to have to get much, much darker than it is right now. Much darker. And it's not going to happen by the year 2027. I do not believe at all. Now, could it happen? Sure, God could pull the plug and all of a sudden, you know, we could be 3 days without water and be like a bunch of zombies running around trying to kill each other just to get water. Absolutely, God can do anything he wants, right? But I do not believe that's going to happen. That's not the sense that I have at all. And let me tell you the main reason why I'm coming to this belief. There was a prophecy that was given about me that's already come true. Okay, so that's the first thing I'm going to believe, is that the Bible says if a man prophesies and it comes true, then he's a legitimate prophet of God. If what he prophesies does not come true, you shouldn't listen to him. There was a prophecy that I was given about my life back in 2009 down in the rainforest in Panama, Central America. And this lady, and it was confirmed by two other women that were sitting right beside her, prophesied to me that God was going to use me to touch millions. Now, this lady had no idea really anything about me. And I didn't have any idea that God would one day call me into, you know, the type of ministry he has. I believe my YouTube channel is approaching 9 or 10 million video views. Well, you cannot imagine saying this to somebody, a complete stranger that you've known for, you know, 3 days in the rainforest. You saw them make one presentation and you're going to have the gall to tell them that God's going to use them to touch millions? I don't think so. You got a better chance of, you know, having Jesus come back today than having that happen, usually. So this has come true. Okay. Now, the other thing that that lady prophesied to me, which was actually confirmed by an email that was received in the hotel in Central America from a friend of mine on the way to that very dinner where that lady would speak this prophecy over me and my child, an email was sent from the United States of America. Keep in mind, I'm down in Central America getting ready to eat dinner in the Panama Canal, and an email was sent to a friend of mine prophesying the exact same thing that this lady at the dinner table was getting ready to tell me about my son, about a child that I had. And I know who the child is now. I have five children, but I know exactly which child this is. And that night at dinner, this lady said, Michael, and this is where she became so serious. She said, you have a child who's going to go even beyond you. She said, you're going to impact millions. She said, but you have a child who has the gift of prophecy who is going to go even beyond you. That email that came in from the United States was a lady who had a dream about my child and begged Larry, one of my best friends, to tell me that I had a child who had the gift of prophecy. Gary, this happened the same night that this lady was getting ready to tell me about this, about my child. Okay? I know without a doubt, this is my son, Tyler Criswell. He has epilepsy. He has dyslexia. He is the black sheep of the family. He does not fit in at school. He is barely making it through school. He's a failure in every sense in the way of academics. He is a genius in so many other ways, but he is failing at school. He's misunderstood. He's looked down upon. He is despised by his mother. He is the exact type of child that God looks after. This kid, since he was 2 years old, Gary, has been different than any other human being I've ever met. when he was 2 years old at the park, if he saw another two-year-old fall, he would run over and help them. I have never known this child to lie ever. How many people could say that about a kid? I've never known this kid. Nobody, not my grandparents, nobody can say this child has ever told a lie in his whole life, with the exception of lying to a grandparent because he was afraid for his life. One time. And he may have had to a few times because of the divorce and my ex-wife and horrible things. But in general, this child's never told a lie. He has no bitterness towards his mother. He has never spoken the first ill word about his mother in spite of all that has happened. And he does not in any way condone her behavior. He understands that this is evil and it's wrong. This child has a special blessing. In 2001, the year he was born, a man walked into my gym one night where I own the Lord's gym. I have it written on a piece of paper. He wrote a prophecy about me. And at the end, he says, your son, speaking as if he were the Lord, he says, your son will never know rebellion, but will walk before me all the days of his life. Gary, I'm going to tell you something. That was 2001. That was 18 years ago, 17 years ago. My son is 17 years old. Okay. Do you know something that describes the last 17 years of my son's life? My son has always asked questions about God, kept faith in God, thought about God, has always, in spite of the fact that he hasn't had the best teaching, the best discipline, the best school, a father who could teach him, he hasn't had all those things in his life all the time. But my son has still maintained this underlying stream of faith in God. And he's never to this, he avoids sin. He doesn't understand why, you know, the teenage boys want to talk about girls' boobies and all that kind of stuff. He likes girls, but he doesn't lust after them. He doesn't lust after money. He doesn't lust after the things of the world. The poor kid loves video games and he can dance like Michael Jackson, like you can't imagine. Those are about as worldly as he gets. He stays in his room all the time by himself and cannot wait to be reunited with his father and trust God. And God shows him 666 before bad things are going to happen, so forth and so on. So I'm telling you all this because it is the most important evidence that I have that formulates what I believe about the end times. I personally have a promise from God that I will come to the grave in full vigor. God gave me a promise out of the Bible. Full vigor that I will have many, many spiritual descendants and that I'm going to have a long life. How is that possible if Christ comes back in 2027? Okay, number one, how is it possible that God could take my child and take him far beyond? Now, can it be done? Absolutely. God can do anything, right? He can do anything. It's not likely. It's not likely. And I really believe, my friend, that as dark as it looks to you and I, it has to get much darker. And as impatient as you and I are, I believe that Father is patient on a level that we cannot begin to comprehend with our own human understanding. You know, everybody's crying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. I'm telling you, no, unfortunately, it's going to have to get a lot worse before Christ comes back. You know, Jesus said in Luke 18:8, he said, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? My friend, there's still far too many people that actually believe. I know I'm in touch with thousands of people around the world. There may not be a lot at your local church, but there's people all over the world who are believing. China is filled with some of the greatest, you know, largest numbers of believers anywhere. Jesus is telling us, will he even find faith on earth? There's going to be a great falling away. A terrible apostasy beyond, I think, what we just see the Catholic Church. You know, that could look like a giant falling away, but I'm not in agreement with that. Again, I could be totally wrong. But so my friend is I don't know, as arrogant as it may sound, as delusional as it may sound, because of the track record of God's faithfulness in my life to tell me of things that were going to happen, and every one of them has come to pass, when God tells me that, you know, gives me the sense that I'm going to live a long life and that I don't have to fear the beasts of the earth. And that God tells me I have a son who's going to go far beyond me. I believe him. In spite of what I see with my eyes and hear with my ears on the news, in spite of what my own natural self wants to believe, man, Christ could come back any minute. Brother, I just don't believe it's going to happen. And I tell you the truth. Let me tell you this final point about this. If God were going to come back this soon, I would plead, and I have pled with him, God, please, you know, raise me up to warn people, you know, because you can see in my ministry, my heart is to warn people. But what is the message that God has had me warn people? The message that God has had me warn people is that the apocalypse is coming for you in your own personal life. You need to be more afraid of your personal apocalypse than you need to be of the world apocalypse. Your end times comes the second your heart stops beating. And you have a whole lot more chance of dying of natural causes than of when Christ comes back. And you need to put things into practice. And I always felt by the Holy Spirit that the most important end times teaching is Luke 12:42, where Jesus says, who is the wise and faithful master servant who, when his master comes back, finds him working, giving the other servants their food allowance at the proper time? I always saw that as Jesus saying, don't be on a computer studying end times. Be busy feeding the sheep, helping, doing your part, using the gift God has given you in its various forms to serve other people, administering God's grace. So I have always seen that this end time thing, I know this sounds crushing to you, brother, perhaps, but I see this as a gigantic distraction against the most important end times event, a personal seat where Jesus Christ sits and you and I standing before it, giving an account for how we live, knowing we could drop dead today of a heart attack. And what difference does it make how much I knew about the end times or the apocalypse or the Antichrist or 2027? It doesn't matter. My 2027 is today if God wants it. And so to me, that is the urgency, is not to plan. And watch this. Here's why I think what I'm telling you is even worse news. Because if God came to me and said, Michael, you're wrong. I want to tell you, I am coming and I do want you to warn people, right? My brother, I tell you, many people perhaps would put their tail between their legs and they would tighten up ship and they would get their house in order and they would be this sense of urgency that, oh, the king's coming and, you know, my husband's going to come back and I need to get all my adulteries and kick out all my lovers and send all my boyfriends packing and I need to get prepared. My lover's coming. I don't think it's going to be that way. I don't think it's going to be that way. I think God is pleased to allow there to be a much more difficult journey of suffering and darkness, and his delay, his tarrying is going to cause many to grow cold. What does Jesus say? He says that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. See, if I could tell everybody, hey guys, listen, Jesus is coming back 2027. Man, I would put everything I had into warning people, helping them get, I'm already doing that because I think their 2027 could be next week, next month, next year. Okay. But the thing is that I think God is somehow or another pleased to allow men to be tested more than this, that he is going to allow men to go through much more difficult waiting period where we're all stuck. It's the ultimate test of our faith. If we knew Christ is coming back in 2027, we go, well, of course things are getting horrible out there. I mean, no, but no big deal. Jesus is coming back right on the other side of this. No, I have never once had that happen in my life where I knew when the end of the darkness was going to come. I've always had to persevere, including this year of having received, you know, Michael, rest and taken away my favor and taken away his grace from me, hoping it would come at the end of the year, but not knowing. And that requires so much more faith that pleases God, not knowing and having to endure and suffering persecution and, you know, oh God, how much longer? So, Gary, I hope I didn't disappoint you, man. You know, I'm not trying to. And again, let me just say ever so humbly before the Lord, brother, I could absolutely be wrong about this, but this is what I believe. I do not believe Christ is going to come back in my lifetime. I believe I have a child who God is going to use in a powerful way. I have evidence in his life. I have a prophetic word that was given to me by the same person who prophesied over my life. And it came true. And I believe the word that she spoke and that other lady spoke are true. So I'm going to hold on to that rather than trying to, you know, put things together And it just doesn't fit with me, brother. I'm telling you, I think things are going to have to get much, much worse. God is so much more patient. I don't understand. But man, brother, we are not yet at the days of Lot and Noah. We are not at the point where God can destroy every single person on earth. Think about this. Just, you know, let this sink in for a minute. You know, when Christ talks about the end times, he talks about so it was in the days of Lot and Noah, right? Okay, now think about this. In the days of Lot and Noah, there were only, particularly Noah, there were only 8 people on the entire earth that God found worthy to save. So when did God do the destruction and start things over? Only when it got down to where there was only 8 people left. I think about when Jesus, God tells the Israelites, he cannot send them all the way deep into Canaan because I believe it is the sin of the Amalekites that has not yet reached its fullness. See, God allows the sin to reach its fullness. I don't know why he does it. I think it's because so that when you stand before him, you know you're guilty and you know that he was merciful and you know that he was long-suffering and you know he gave you time after time to turn. There's a patience of God that I don't understand and I can't even comprehend. I would have wrapped things up probably a lot longer ago. I mean, I look at videos of World War II and I go, Lord, that's it. End it. Come back. This is the end. And you know, Gary, many people thought that was. When I look at the state of the world in World War II, what we're going through now is nothing compared to then. 60 million people were killed in World War II. You know, I mean, what a crisis, what a horrible thing. So, you know, when you look at the days of Lot and the days of Noah, and you see that God says, no, I won't destroy Sodom if we can find a small number of people. Abraham has to keep whittling it down. He says, nope, I wouldn't destroy it for that. God is so merciful that he waits till there's no light left. And he seems to spare places when there are godly people amongst it. Clearly, he was doing this with Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay. Now, here's what I see. I see a connection between the words of Christ when he says it will be like the days of Noah. Okay. 8 people on earth. And then when you look at Luke 18:8, when Jesus says, when he comes back, will he find faith on earth? It's the same as asking the question, when God brings the flood, will he find any of them worthy of not killing in that flood? And the answer was no. There was only 8 people left. So my brother, I tell you the truth. I really believe is what I'm saying to you comes from the Spirit of Christ. And I believe you can keep in contact with me after 2027. You can see that what I'm telling you is true. You know, just like I made a recording a few years ago when people all said that the world was going to end, I think 2 years in a row on September 23rd, I put a message out and I said, no, I'm sorry, guys. It is not going to end on September 23rd. And brother, what was my reasoning? The same exact reasoning I've given you today. I have promises from God. Now, if somebody wants to step forward, honestly, I say this in all humility before God. If somebody wants to stand up as an end times teacher who has more insight than me, which is not easy or not hard to do, and they want to come to me and say, Michael, I have more evidence of God prophesying in my life than in you. I have way more events that have happened where God told me this was going to happen and it did. And if somebody could make what God has done in my life over and over and over look small so that I could be humbled before them and say, wow, clearly God is way more with this person than me. And they told me, God told them it's going to come and the end is here. I might be more inclined to listen. But I have no reason to listen to these kind of things because everything God has told me is true, Gary. Everything has come true. You know, so, but again, I say this with all due humility. Could I be wrong? Absolutely. Absolutely I could, but I do not believe I am, brother. It's interesting. Perhaps you should keep this recording. 2027 will be here before you know it. And if we're all still here, this would be a wonderful thing, but I'm telling you, God, Jesus Christ is not coming back in 2027. And I really do not believe at all under any circumstances that he's going to come back in my life. I'll tell you this one last thing I believe. I believe America is going to be punished. I believe America in my lifetime, I will see the downfall of America. I believe it's going to collapse. I believe it's going to collapse hard, but I do not believe we will see Jesus Christ return. If we do, oh, praise God. I'm going to be so excited. Okay, because I'm longing for him to come. That's another reason I think it's going to take so much longer. It's because I want him to come back so much. So, brother, God bless you and keep you. I was delighted to receive your email. May God continue to bless you. And remember, the most important end times message is to live by faith, pleasing God and being busy doing what he's asked us to do, so that when he does come back, he'll be pleased with us. God bless you, brother. Bye-bye.
Hello, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Michael's commentary for 2025. Now, on this message that was made in 2019, I realize this is a very sensitive subject that creates so many question marks, heartaches, and searching on. And I just want to share a few more thoughts with you on this. I would like for you to know that I, contrary to what seems to be almost every other Bible teacher, so-called YouTube internet prophet out there, says that Jesus is coming back real soon, I continue to stand in complete contradiction to all these people who are claiming to have visions and dreams that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I want to tell you that I still, 6 years later, I not only believe that Jesus is not coming back in 2027, I believe from what I have studied in Scripture and what I now know from personal experience of walking with God and waiting on Him, of what I have seen when I look at the book of Jeremiah, when I see how long God waits, 41 years in Jeremiah's life, from the prophecy to the fulfillment, 500 years from Daniel's prophecy to fulfillment, 2,000 years perhaps for Abraham's fulfillment of his promise, etc., etc. When I see these things in the Scripture combined with Jesus Christ saying in Matthew 25 that the bridegroom was a long time in coming, him also saying in those two glorious chapters of the 24th and 25th of Matthew that the Son of Man will not come at a time you expect, I believe that if people are still expecting Jesus to come back in the way that you see and hear people talking about it, he is not coming back. I believe when Jesus says the bridegroom is a long time in coming, it is much, much longer than anyone can imagine. For 2,000 years, perhaps every single generation has thought their generation was the generation that Jesus Christ would come back. And for 2,000 years, every single one of them has been wrong. Eventually, a generation that says that will be right. But I stand right now again in spirit with a man like Charles Spurgeon, whose mind was far more sharp than one like mine, or with A.W. Pink again. Both men, very, very well studied, given great light on the Scripture. When they touched the subject of Bible prophecy, eschatology, end times, the book of Revelation, they got burned. A.W. Pink, actually 40 years after the fact, wrote a book basically refuting his previous book that he had written about the second coming of Jesus Christ, saying that everything he thought he believed was wrong. Charles Spurgeon said that he believes that the reason why God left the book of Revelation in the Bible is not so much so that it can be written to us for teachings or figuring out end times prophecy, but so that God could leave a stain on men's pride. A few years ago, somebody sent me their own end times book. And what I noticed when I read the book, although it was very compelling and the man had assembled all these insights and historical facts and connections to Scripture, and he was doing a really admirable job of connecting things. And ultimately, he believed Prince Charles, who is now King Charles, was going to be the Antichrist. But I noticed when he sent me the book that it was now the seventh edition, because he had had to revise it as history changed and as new events took place that contradicted what his previous beliefs were. Men like A.W. Pink and Charles Spurgeon and others believed that you were foolish to try to touch the prophecies in the book of Revelation, or try to assimilate or harmonize the Scriptures in such a way that you could arrive at a fixed outcome, a fixed result, or a fixed date and time. I stand 100% with them. Brothers and sisters, for the better part of 14 years in this ministry, I have not been able to shake loose of something inside of me which says, tell them I'm not coming back as soon as they are being told I am. No matter what I've experienced with God, all the prophetic, all the faith, all the dates and times, all the insights into God's word, all the corrections, all the victories, all the vindications, all the mysteries that I've walked with all these years with God, and not once has he ever changed my heart or changed my direction on warning people, please listen, Jesus is not coming back as soon as you think he is. We have every generation needed to be told that our Lord is coming, and he is. And every generation has hoped for with some urgency that it would be in their lifetime, but it wasn't. And I believe that we are to expect. We are still to expect, but I also believe that we are likely in a very special time, dispensation, administration, period of the end when the church is in a very geriatric stage. Remembering Jesus Christ even said, when he comes back, will he even find faith on earth? He didn't find any faith when he came back during the days of Noah and when he came back during the days of Lot. And Jesus himself said that his coming will be like those days. Again, this hints to us. The Luke 18:8, will he even find faith on earth? The Matthew 25, the bridegroom was a long time in coming. There has to be a great 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 falling away before the lawless one can be revealed and Jesus Christ can come back. And all the way back to these times of Noah and Lot, where the only people saved were the people that got the message. No one else was found believing in God. And God delivers and God pours out his wrath on the exact same day. But brothers and sisters, when I look at how long God has delayed in Lisa and I's life, when I see the times that Lisa and I believed for sure and hoped Jesus was finally going to come and deliver our situation, and then he didn't, and then another time came and he didn't, and then another time came and he didn't, it's like we were telling ourselves and seeing signs that helped us to believe that, quote, Jesus was coming into our situation. He was going to come and save us. And when he didn't, you can see that clip of Lisa sitting there at Tyler's house, and she begins to cry when I ask her how she's feeling, and she lamenting, saying, he just keeps stretching it and stretching it and stretching it and stretching it. Brothers and sisters, I really believe that her words and the journey that we've been on are meant to be an earthly representation, another picture, another spiritual reminder of God's ways for those who will have to live towards the very end. I really believe I'm giving you a warning now that may sound like heresy today, but perhaps 40 years from now, it may be a life-giving, faith-saving warning when after all these YouTube videos and internet prophets and messages have said that Jesus Christ is coming back because I had a dream, I had a vision, and it hasn't happened. And so many people have cried wolf that there's no one left to believe he'll ever come back. Remember the Bible says that in the end there'll be scoffers who say, where is this coming? Everything goes on as it always has been. Do you know how easy it will be to give up on Jesus when you've been told dozens of times he's coming back soon, he's coming back soon, he's coming back next week, he's coming back next year, and he doesn't? Do you know how easy it will be to give up on your faith? Lisa declares that she came very close to losing her faith, and giving up on God is nothing but cruel, believing that he either had forgotten about us, he didn't care about us, he didn't have the power to save us, or he wasn't there at all. That's how fatal it can be to your faith when you believe Jesus Christ is coming into your situation or into this earth and he doesn't. I really believe, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ most likely will come back at a precise period of time, and I do believe it will be tied to the earth's age of 6,000 years, one day to the Lord being as of 1,000. 1,000 years to us being like a day to the Lord. I do believe that we got a picture in Genesis of about how long life on earth for man will last, those 6,000 years. And then in the 7,000th year or the 7th millennial, it'll be perhaps the millennial reign of Christ where Jesus comes and rules and reigns. And there's a period of rest for us from the flesh and rest for us from the devil. I really do believe it. I also believe that in addition, kind of running on another track next to this internal sense that I've had, this kind of internal knowing that Jesus is not coming back when everybody thinks. After all, he said as much. The Son of Man will not come back at a time you expect. I do believe again, if people are expecting him, he's not coming back. He's going to push it out longer and farther than you ever thought or ever dreamed. It's going to be a long time, brothers and sisters. But listen, in addition to this internal sense, this internal knowing in my spirit that what I'm saying is true for me to tell you as a warning, on another track is the fact that there are people that have been able to somewhat calculate, perhaps even more so on the Jewish side of things, the Jewish calendar, how old the earth is, when time began, and when 6,000 years is up. Nobody knows the exact year, I don't believe, or time, but there's some pretty healthy estimates. I'm inclined to believe, just to go out on a limb and share with you my personal opinion, that Jesus Christ is not going to come back any sooner than perhaps the year 2070. I still believe that it's at least 45 to maybe 120 years out before we reach what I believe will be a 6,000 year period of the age of the earth, where the age of man is over and Jesus Christ will come back. I absolutely believe it. I may sound again like a lunatic or a heretic now and today in the face of thousands of people saying, I had a dream, I had a vision, Jesus is coming back, we have nuclear war, AI is taking over. Listen, I have no doubt the mess we're in with AI is terrible. I am seeing it myself. I'm not naive to it. AI is a world-changing thing. Life is never going to be the same, and it's only going to exponentially increase in the next couple of years, and I have no idea what the long-term implications of that will be, but I stand here to tell you and plead with you again to tell you, I absolutely believe, brothers and sisters, things are going to have to get much, much, much darker, and Jesus Christ is going to wait much, much, much longer. And while 2,000 years ago, we may have been told by prophets to expect his coming anytime, to keep us engaged, to keep us urgent, to keep us looking heavenward, to keep us in Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come. I believe times have changed, and I believe the Lord would want us to know he's going to be a long time in coming, and this is going to call for patient endurance on the part of the saints, far more than you perhaps imagine. Brothers and sisters, please, I just ask you, think about it. The message I made to this gentleman was 6 years ago. 6 years ago. And I'm still telling you this today. Jesus has not come back in the last 6 years, although people thought he would. Around the 2020 collapse of the whole world under COVID, people were starting to scream, Jesus is coming back, get ready, it's happening. And I'm saying, no, it's not. Brothers and sisters, every time somebody has said the world is coming to an end, I've been outspoken and saying, no, it's not. It's going to keep going. And that's the problem. It's going to get darker and darker and darker and darker. And you're going to have to be able to persevere. I do believe that Jesus Christ has been warning through me for years that peaceful times were coming to an end. Restful times. Quiet times. Where you could have time to learn to walk with him. Brothers and sisters, the days that we've enjoyed are over. AI, I just, as an example, how do you know 12 months from now, the sermon that you heard on the internet or that you saw at church, how do you know if that was written by the man through his heart as he walks with the Lord, anointed by the Holy Spirit, or was that written in 1 minute by AI? And it's godless, and it's mechanical, and it's spiritless. And although it itches your ears, it's food that will not endure to eternal life. How are you going to know with what you see on the internet what is true? I'm telling you, we are in seriously dangerous times. I don't know what the implications of this will be. I don't know how long it will last. But I'm imploring you to believe, to expect that Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, is a long time in coming. He's still a long time in coming. And the greatest evidence I have of that, after all the times and dates that God has been so pleased to do in my life, after all the answered prayers and all the prophetic, I have found out firsthand the bridegroom is a very long time in coming. And your faith will be tested beyond what you ever imagined. Please, I may be one of the only voices that is saying this, and I could be wrong, but I think perhaps decades from now, there might be some who will have heard this message and say, wow, despite what everybody else was saying, that Jesus was coming back soon in visions and dreams. Somehow or another, this man knew better and knew to warn me to stay firm. Please, brother or sister in Christ, whether you hear this 10 years from now or 40 years from now or 50 years from now or 80 years from now, don't give up. Hear this voice, knowing that Jesus Christ has perhaps told you in advance that he would be a very long time in coming, far longer than we ever imagined. I'm going to end with just one more example from Scripture, which I think is extraordinary. I had read the book of Jeremiah for years. I had enjoyed the principles, the teachings, the Scripture, the light. But one thing I failed to realize until I did a deep, deep study is how long of a period of time the book of Jeremiah lasts. When I see Jeremiah getting so upset at God, the weeping prophet crying out, "Will you be a deceptive brook to me? You have deceived me. You have prevailed against me." God telling him, "I'll make you like a bronze wall. They're going to come at you, but they will not prevail against you." But then seeing him strung up like a dead animal, seeing him buried in a pit, seeing him being threatened that they're going to murder him, and seeing all these things happen to him, and noticing that this king comes, and then this king comes, and then this king comes, and I'm going, wait a second. There's a lot of time here, brothers and sisters. This is a picture into the heart of God. From the time that God comes to Jeremiah and prophesies to him about all the great doom that's coming upon Jerusalem and the temple and all the people there in Israel, to the time that it actually happens, to the time that his ministry is over, it's not 41 days. It's not 41 months. It's not 14 years. It's 41 years. 41 years. I'm standing here right now telling you, I believe that Jesus Christ will not come back any sooner than 45 years or more from now. If I'm not wrong, hold on to this recording and remember to persevere. Remember how long we had to wait. Remember how long Abraham had to wait. Remember how long Jeremiah had to wait. Remember how long Joseph had to wait. Remember how long David had to wait. Remember how long Daniel had to wait. Daniel is prophesying 500 years in advance about Jesus Christ. Remember how long Isaiah would have had to wait, 700 years. Why does God do that? Why did God give us Isaiah 53 and then make us wait 700 years? What's the point of it? The mystery of God, a God who is very slow, a bridegroom who is a long time in coming, who says, when he comes back, will he even find faith on earth? I tell you, my brothers and sisters, I truly believe there is still way too much, quote, faith on this earth for Jesus to come back. And he did say he will not come back at a time you expect. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Jesus comes sooner. But I cannot, after 14 years of ministry, believe anything differently than what I say before you right now in the fear of God before his Holy Spirit. God bless you in Jesus' name.